kept up with the news coming out of Ukraine, the Russian invasion, war, I don't know what else you call it. Of course, if you're in Russia and you call it an invasion or a war, you can be subject to 15 years of imprisonment. That's the communist thumb of rule. That's Stalinism. And it's no question that Putin wants to revive Stalinism and to reclaim the former Soviet Union, including the Iron Curtain, and taking as much of Europe and other nations with him as he can. He's a madman. He is the embodiment of an evil human being. And I'm not afraid to say that. It's true. And this comes from the pages of Holy Scripture as well. And there are men, women, children, and babies being slaughtered mercilessly. Hospitals, nurseries, apartments being targeted by bombs. And it starts with Putin. The Russian people, on the other hand, the iron thumb of communism is coming down again. After these 30 years of freedom, building towards freedom, even towards a semblance of liberty, the thumb comes back down. Suddenly in Russia now there is no freedom of news. There is the state-sponsored news and none else. Propaganda. Communist propaganda. Controlling people, robbing them of their liberty. Those who are protesting are being arrested and imprisoned as freedom is being ripped away at the hands of one man and the cronies in his party that are under the influence, whether in ignorance or intentionally, of Satan. We know. But there are precious souls in Russia. And we have brothers and sisters in Russia. Judy and I have been there. They hosted us. A church in Tambov, Russia, south of Moscow, about an eight-hour train ride. If you look on the map, you'll see it. Precious believers there. There's also corrupt religion there. The bishop of the Russian Orthodox Church came out publicly siding with Putin and against the sinful people of Ukraine. We also have brothers and sisters, dear brothers and sisters in Ukraine that have taken up arms against the foe that is robbing liberty from them and that is sworn to destroy Christianity. Christianity is the enemy of communism because Jesus makes us free. And in communism, no one can be free outside of the iron thumb of communism. I don't have any problem praying against Putin or any of his cronies. And we've been praying lately, especially the last week, we've been praying that God would raise up a David. I have a dear friend that I sometimes fish with, and he summed it up where he said, you know, if the rest of the world nor ourselves intervenes physically to spare the lives of the innocents in Ukraine and preserve their freedom, regardless of what Putin threatens. He said, if we don't, we are not good people. I don't know how else to put it. It's a dark days, dark days. But yet the hope is that it's not unspoken of in Scripture. In the last days, evil men will wax worse and worse. And Jesus said, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise up against nation. David Jeremiah did a really good job, biblical prophecy about Russia and what's going on right now. The bear from the north, as prophesied in Scripture, both in Daniel and in the book of Revelation, tying it into what we see today, the communist rule. If you have a chance, it's worth listening to. Pray for our Ukrainian brethren. I don't have any problem praying for peace. Just because we know that it's going to get worse and worse doesn't mean that there can't be periods of revival. It doesn't mean that free men, free women, can't stand up against tyranny and help support, encourage, and defend free peoples and free nations. It doesn't mean that we can't, and it certainly doesn't mean that we shouldn't. We don't want to be among those who have their heads in the sand. It's hilarious to me, some of the things that the left does. We have liberal friends with whom we can have dialogues. We cannot have a dialogue with the left. The left has leaned so far to the left that there's no reasoning. It's an emotional hand grenade that gets pulled every time we attempt to engage in reasonable, rational, common sense conversation with somebody from the left. We need to pray for them too. Yeah. How did things get this bad? Well, guess what? While our present administration smells all the roses and sees daisies in the future and is going to go green, and I'm not against that. We can transition more and more into alternative forms of energy, but it's a transition. And it needs to be done with research and study and common sense, especially while we have untapped reserves in our own nation, where we can be and should be energy efficient. But I'm still not against the transition. But to think that this world is not evil, and to rob our nation of independence, and then perfect time for communist rule to invade Ukraine, knowing that they can get away with it, right? And then what happens to the U.S.? Reaping the consequences of head in the sand, or maybe I should say head in the clouds, delusion. This world is under the sway of the evil one. And evil men are easily influenced by him. And we see that going on in the world today. That's true to a degree in our nation, but it's certainly true in nations such as North Korea, Syria, Iran, with whom the present administration wants to open up nuclear talks with again, allowing them to proceed with nuclear capabilities. And then, of course, Russia. And did I say North Korea? I did. Syria. Iran. I said that too. Sorry, you're going to have to get used to that. That's part of the reason I'm resigning. One of these days, what's that?
China,
thank you, Chuck. China, go ahead and name it. You know other nations. Saudi Arabia, can't even have a New Testament scripture. Saudi Arabia. Many countries in Africa now that have turned Islam or are getting pulled into communism. Venezuela, South America, others. Yeah, shouldn't be surprised. We have these periods of relative peace while the forces of evil are building until Ukraine happens. Pray for the Ukrainian people. Father in heaven, we do pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. And Father, we do pray that you would raise up a David, someone that will stand up to the bully and say no more, no matter what, no more. We pray certainly that it would be our friends in Europe, because it's a European nation that's being invaded. But Lord, in their absence or their pacificity, you would raise us up, or another nation, to say enough is enough. Father, we pray for our brethren there, that you would protect them, keep them from harm's way, continue to keep them assembling to worship, help those who are fleeing to be able to flee safely. And we pray that you would, at every turn, we pray that you would thwart the forces of Putin. We pray that things would just go wrong. We know from reading the Old Testament scriptures, when you defended Israel, you got the enemy all turned around, even to the point that they killed each other. God, we don't so much hold the Russian soldiers accountable as we do Putin, his ideology, communism, and his cronies. We pray that you'd take them out. Take them out. They are terrorists, no different than Osama bin Laden. We pray that you would take them out. We pray that free people could remain free. And we pray those nations would be thrown open wide and kept open to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would send forth laborers into the harvest field. We pray for those nations, China, Iran, and now Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Saudi Arabia, North Korea, Russia, the nations that are so closed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd throw them open so that the people in darkness can see the light, the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would hold back the powers of evil and the evil men who rule in those nations, and that there would be an army of your people marching in to preach peace. Thank you, Father. And for our Russian brethren and also the ordinary Russia citizens, we pray that the truth of what Putin is doing would be broadcast far and wide, loud and clear, verifiable facts, and that somehow the propaganda lies would be all twisted around and become entirely unbelievable as for what they are, lies. And Father, we also pray for the religious leaders in Russia that are siding with Putin, that, and the apostate churches in our nation, that they would get back to the Bible. Begin with the common sense reading, proclamation, understanding, and believing of your word. Your word is truth. Your word is eternal. Grant that we might be your Bible people. Thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Probably tell it's heavy on my heart. I have a hard time. I have a hard time thinking of the freedom and the joys we have in our nation, knowing that our brethren are under siege in Ukraine. Not to mention persecution of our brethren in China, North Korea, other places such as that. All right. I'm going to read some scripture this morning from Colossians chapter 3. And this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. We're going to look at verse 12. And this is a portion of scripture. Of course, the epistles are written not only to those particular churches, but to all New Testament churches. So as we look in chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, I'd invite you to think about River Valley Bible Church, us, our church family, our brothers and sisters here. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wonderful portion of scripture. I especially like, if I had time to go through and exposit this, it would be great, but it'd take a long time. So the whole idea, we are the elect of God. It is true that we have placed personal faith in Christ, and it's equally true then that God chose us. We are his elect, we are his people, holy and beloved. And that's because he has made us holy and beloved. And he says, put on tender mercies. He's talking about our attitudes one toward another. And then he names some of them: kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. I love this. Verse 13, bearing with one another. In the King James, literally, forbearing one another in love. And a word study on forbearing is great because it means literally to put up with. You see, we're all called from different walks of life. We have different experiences, different parents, different ideologies, different personalities. So the obvious conclusion is we're going to rub each other the wrong way because people aren't like us. And we like to hang around with people that think like us, that act like us, that have similar experiences. That's not what the church is all about. The church is about a bunch of misfits who fit in the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's coming to a point where I realize the person that, you know, I don't have the option of not liking a fellow child of God. Because he's a brother, she's a sister. I'm going to be spending eternity. I need to turn that around and say, what do you suppose it is in me that other people find unlikable? Right? That's why we see humility, tender mercies, kindness, long-suffering, putting up with one another. You have different gifts than me. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's nothing different than having somebody that loves righteousness, loves justice, and put them together with somebody that has the gift of mercy. They're polarized opposites in terms of gifting. But God has given both for the equipping of the church. Victory is the humility that says, I love my merciful brother. I love my righteous brother, the one who loves justice, who prays for justice and mercy. It takes all the gifts. I need, just because I don't understand your gift doesn't mean that I have the privilege of not liking you. Okay? Now, gossip is not a gift, by the way. Some people that think they have the gift of gossip, I haven't found that anywhere in Scripture. All right. But bearing with one another, and especially during this transitional time, and I love the way he said, oh, forgiving, how much did you get forgiven? Keith, I appreciate your humility, brother. When you talk about, you look in the mirror, you think, who is that? You know, but then you realize, I know who I am, right? I know who I am. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone, right? Okay. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. There's an imperative there. How much did Christ forgive you? He had to shed his blood. He had to give his life. He had to sacrifice himself in order to save you. He had to give up glory, take on human flesh, suffer persecution, mocking, the crown of thorns, scourging, human spit in his face, humiliation of being stripped naked, mock worship, all of it with you in mind. Giving his life. God died for you. How dare I not forgive another? That's why it's imperative. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection or completion. The Christian virtues that are encased in love, at work in the Church of the Living God, are powerful. And the gates of hell cannot stand against the Church of the Living God. Look around. These are your brothers and sisters. Doesn't matter that you're different. Your gifts are different. Your backgrounds are different. Your experiences are different. You need to love one another. And as you do, as we do, we come, you'll find, like I have, and you probably already have, you could probably preach this better than me, the gifts that others have, I come to esteem them more and more. And I wonder, why was I so judgmental? Why was I critical of those individuals? All right. And then I'm going to share with you just a little bit of history. As we walk down, boy, it's almost 10 o'clock. I'm just warming up. Y'all comfortable? What did I say? It's almost 11 o'clock. Sorry. It's almost 10 o'clock on my watch. We're just getting started. I got an hour. Thank you. I didn't spring ahead, obviously. Well, maybe we'll get it. Maybe we'll revisit the church history. Very important to understand history. How this church began, the spark of its beginning, the people that God used in its beginning, how it came to have the name that it does and the place that we meet today, how God has answered prayer and directed. History is so important. It helps us connect the dots. And then we realize that we're part of something bigger than just parking in a parking lot and occupying a seat and getting to know people. We understand the history. Not only does it give us a greater appreciation for a local church, it can help us deal with things that need to be dealt with. Skeletons are way better when they're not in the closet. Matter of fact, skeletons have a tendency to just turn to dust and blow away when they're taken out of the closet and addressed. But also the great appreciation for what God has done. And then also the fact that he's using us to be a part of his plan. That God should use us. I mean, isn't that something? Not only did he save us, but he uses us. He wants to use us as his servants. What a tremendous privilege. As broken and twisted and misfit that we may be, or we may think of ourselves, or others may think of us, he uses us. Cracked Pots, that's the name of the book. God Uses Cracked Pots. I'll start with just a little bit, and then in a couple weeks, when it's my turn to speak again, we'll continue with the history. But let's go back to 2009 and wrapping up a ministry at the Deary Community Bible Church. One of the things that had happened at Elk River Community Bible Church and at Deary was people were moving to the Moscow-Pullman area. People were moving to the LC Valley, and they were saying, where should we start looking for church? I got to know some of the pastors, some of the church leaders. I knew quite a few more, actually some in Moscow, but more in Lewis and Clarkston. And I would give the name of one or two churches, and people would follow up saying, well, yeah, the doctrine on paper is similar, but the practice is significantly different. We don't know if we can attend there. And we'd heard that from a number of different people. And that in one way or another, somebody always ended up compromising. And that's okay. It's better to have some fellowship than none. It's okay. Remember how bad we preached through the book of 1 Corinthians. Remember how carnal they were? Paul never told them to go start another church. He said, this is what you need to do. You need to correct these deficiencies. Get your eyes on Jesus and get it right. He was telling the church to repent, in essence. So that's what folks did. But it was still a burden on my heart that it was hard to commend people to different churches. Churches adopted a megachurch mentality, how to get the most people in the door, kind of a business mentality, how to please people. And I'm not against pleasing people. I'm not against a comfortable environment or anything like that. But it also involved a certain degree of compromise. And the messages were directed towards the unchurched and the unbelieving that left God's people unfed. That's kind of in a nutshell. And so we were hearing these reports back, and during this transition time, Judy and I began talking about planting a church in Moscow-Pullman. Actually, we got in touch with NICE, and they'd identified Moscow clear back, I think, in like 1980 or something like that, Roy Sprague, about how under-churched Moscow-Pullman area is in terms of evangelical churches. We prayed about it, made a mistake, told Charlie Olson. Next thing you know, he's at an IFCA International Convention back in Indiana or somewhere, I don't know where, and he tells the whole convention that Matt and Judy are going to plant a church in Moscow. I said, Charlie, we haven't even made a decision yet. He said, I know. Anyway, out of that came representatives, churches, our fellowship churches came together. Albion Community Church was the first to pledge prayer support and a man from their church as a representative for the first ministry council. Southwick Bible Church, Tom Chamberlain was another one. Bob Harrington from Albion. He's in glory now. Tom Chamberlain, who is from Southwick, who is now, they moved, and he's now on the ministry council at Moscow Bible Church. And others just pulled together and incorporated the church and began meeting. I've got some more to share with you. The church was passed off to Josh Shetler. The church voted to call him unanimously. The church is doing well. It's grounded well. That's when we met, fell in love with Judy Steele and a lot of other people. God, in his sovereignty, transferred Judy and her husband Jay from Schweitzer in Pullman to Schweitzer in Lewiston. So when we started the Bible study and then the church plant down in Lewiston, Judy was there and she's been there faithful the whole get-go. Anyway, I'm just getting warmed up. We're going to have to continue this. But I want you to understand what you're a part of and how God has pulled it all together to build the River Valley Bible Church. Not by my effort. Matter of fact, my efforts generally get in the way. Judy says, amen. Just in case you didn't hear her, she said, amen. To truly understand what God has done. All right. And we thank God for each and every one of you, and we love you. We consider this our church family. We have high hopes for River Valley Bible Church until the trumpet sounds. We do. We see a tremendous need for solid, conservative Bible churches where God's word is the final word in everything. And in areas that the Bible doesn't speak directly to, we still use the common sense of the scriptures, acknowledging God to make decisions, putting him first. I believe that the size, the number of people isn't as important as the fact that we honor God by honoring his word first and foremost. First and foremost. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just bow again as we close this time of our corporate worship. And it is all about you, God. We turn our thoughts and our hearts to you. I'm reminded of the scripture, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We desire, God, as we have from the beginning, to honor you by honoring your word, by loving one another, certainly by fulfilling the Great Commission in preaching the gospel to every creature, making disciples, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, encouraging one another, training, discipleship, mentoring, as we've heard about today, and staying together as a church family and reaching our valley first for Christ, and then the rest of our state, neighboring states, to the end of the earth. God, if you would be glorified by continuing to establish and encourage this body of believers, may we be your dedicated followers with humility, kindness, forbearance, forbearing one another in love, and in doing so, bring you glory. For your glory and honor, in your Son's name and our Savior Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen.